Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Thanks for joining us today. Both myself and my co-host here, we are both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays with people like yourself. Come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air, although oftentimes we are pre-recorded but during the week, but we are airing on the weekends
to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've Give our opinion. Biased opinion, by the way.
Yeah.
Every opinion is some way biased.
You know, it's interesting. So right now we're seeing in the market a slew of companies starting to go public, right?
Yes.
They're all lining up. First Lyft, an Uber, Pinterest, all these what we call unicorns, companies valued at over $1 billion. And a lot of them are coming to market.
And a lot of them don't actually, are not profitable.
Hugely so.
Which is, even think about it, 30 years ago, who came to market with a company that wasn't profitable? It was almost unheard of.
Well, then the tech bubble. But they didn't have any revenue even oftentimes.
Well, correct.
At least the companies now, they actually have a full-on business.
Prior to the tech bubble, it was unheard of to bring a company public.
Yeah, and if you, as an example, if you watch the Shark Tank, which probably many people have watched before, the sharks always evaluate a company based upon what are you earning today, and they mock people who try to extrapolate too far in the future.
They do, don't they?
It's 100% about a cash flow analysis of what current profit. Every once in a while, something slips through.
But Mark Cuban actually made his money on a company.
I know. Every once in a while, something slips through, and it's actually something pretty unique. And you could see them, but otherwise they beat people up. But yet here we see companies and big companies, Lyft goes public. They're losing billions, $900 million a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Uber is losing billions a year. It'll just be interesting to see
where they go a year from now, 2 years from now.
But be careful as an individual investor getting caught up in these. Now, we appreciate that sometimes people like, it's a bit of a sport owning stocks. They own some individual stocks, and if you know you really want to participate in one of those, fine. Just don't do it in any significant piece of your portfolio where it can have a negative impact.
And remember, the stock doesn't know you own it, right? It should be an investment. You should try to remove as much ego from it as possible from your investments, right?
Yes.
You should try to remove your own ego from this. And I always I look at this. Have you been watching Blue Apron at all? The company that the home food delivery company?
I haven't watched the stock.
No. Oh, it's just been crushed. Just absolutely crushed.
Well, they had a lot of their sales were based on free offers.
A lot of them.
Right? It's easy to get a subscription when you're giving away a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. You sign up for things. So.
Yeah. Sign up for a subscription. We're going to give you three, whatever they give you free.
Yeah.
You don't. I'm guessing you're not a Blue Apron subscriber.
No, I've never been. But they actually, right before they started going public, they started shipping it to me,
without asking.
And I called them and I said, I've been getting these subscriptions. Were they a gift? And they said, no, someone paid for it. And I said, well, who? And they said, well, we don't know, but there's someone's credit card on file, and it's not my own. It wasn't my own. I'm like, wow, someone's priming the pump here. Right?
Well, maybe that's why the stock's where it's at.
Maybe.
There's not as much trust. Didn't they replace some leadership? Anyway, it's...
Just be careful with all initial public offerings.
Yeah. They don't always go up. And remember, Every time there's a trade, there are two sides of it. There's you, and then there's the other party.
Who's selling it.
Yes.
And in this particular situation, many of the companies selling you the public stock are venture capital firms.
Yes. They want a window out.
They want a window out. And some of it's for diversification, and some of it's just
thinking, that be a door out?
Well, some of it's for them to diversify, to take back some of their profits, and some of it is to mitigate risk, which they might believe that there's no more, there's very little more upside left in some of these companies.
Otherwise, why else would they want to sell?
Or otherwise, why would they sell?
I mean, right?
I'm actually
if you
surprised.
Still believe there's tremendous upside, why would you sell?
Yeah, I'm surprised they actually have not sold some of these earlier.
Well, they're coming now, which should be interesting to watch. Anyway, if you want to join the program, want to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, it's 1-888-2-HANSON. It's 1-888-242-6766. And really quick, before we go to calls, Monday is obviously April 15th tax time.
Yes.
Also, it's Patriots Day in New England, and the Boston Marathon is on.
How do you know that?
Well, because I've been running for 30 years, and I have friends out running the Boston Marathon. It's
and on Patriots Day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, what were you going to say about tax time?
Anyway, look, if you haven't filed yet, just do an extension. Do yourself a favor. If you're sitting around this weekend, like,
and you're
oh, man.
Rushing to file, just extend it.
Extend it. Now, you're supposed to
make an estimated payment.
Yeah, it's not hard to do.
It's okay if you've been overpaid a little bit. You just apply it to next year's taxes.
Yeah, or get it in a refund when you do your taxes later.
Yeah.
And by the way, if not on Monday, if you haven't done your taxes by now, you're not going to have anyone do your taxes.
You don't want to. You just want to file an extension.
Yeah. But Hanson McLean, we do have a tax firm, Hanson McLean Tax, that we've got CPAs on staff that...
Do
a lot of tax returns and other tax business work as well.
Business accounting as well as tax returns. Yep. And so you were going to promote this tax services that we provide. Is that what you just did?
That's what I just did.
Okay.
It says right here, promote tax firm. Now,
the producers gave us this thing to say.
And it's highlight. It's because we don't always read the notes very well.
They do highlight. Jasmine does highlight things for us because.
Promote tax firm.
How would you go about contacting this firm?
Go to HansonMcLean.com.
There you go.
HansonMcLean.com. But don't ask them to do your taxes on Monday, please.
Please.
All right. Let's hit the calls here. 1-888-2-HANSON. And we're talking with Kevin. Kevin, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. How are you, Kevin?
Yeah, good. Listen to you guys every week. And I got to tell you, I just called in to, you know, your 1-800 number for a simple question. And they decided to said the radio would be best. And I talked to like three people, and they were the greatest people I have talked to in a long time.
Are you sure you called our company?
Yes, I'm sorry. You guys helped me about 3 or 4 years ago on another pension problem I had, and it went through perfectly. I just sent the HR the podcast, and I got an answer.
Really?
Like the next Monday.
Yeah. Really?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a, we had a profit sharing program that got flipped into a 401k, and they couldn't tell me because the owner died, which was, I'd already paid taxes on the profit sharing. And yeah, I just sent that to them. Boom. I got a call.
Okay. Well, how can we help you today?
Hopefully, simple call. I was in a union in Sacramento or in California for only like, I just barely made the 10 years on it. So I've got like 25 grand in there, but they keep sending things saying, you know what? It used to be more. I think it was like 35 that were, you know, we have no money. This is going down. This is going down.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 59 years old. And I am totally disabled. My question is there any way, since I'm disabled, that I can take this money out now before it's not there anymore?
Maybe.
Because I called them, they told me no, but of course they will, you know.
Well, so tax law allows for it. right? And so if this was a basic 401k.
No, this is a pension with a union.
Right. So we're stating that if this were just a typical 401k, yes, you're disabled, you can have access to those dollars. Because this is a pension, this falls under the pension plan itself.
So
their pension document.
So that's why we said it may, right? So
I mean, this was a big union. It was the automotive, aerospace workers, machinists.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Like Jimmy Hoffa ran a large union.
No, I know. Many of them.
So. So here's what you can do. You can see if you can take a distribution from it. You can see if you can roll it over. Or sometimes you just actually have to start a stream of payments on this. Due to the fact that you're disabled, the pension doc probably allows for some sort of the pension documentation or plan design may allow for some sort of a distribution because you're disabled. And so when you say you're disabled, are you on Social Security disability?
Okay, I am,
so you're 100% disabled. So here's your three choices.
But it sounds like he called the plan. They already told him no.
Yeah, they told me. But, you know, I don't trust them either. I mean, of course they're going to tell me no.
So, but he's got to have access to at least the stream of payments, Scott.
But they said not until I'm 62.
Unless you're disabled. Did you tell him you were disabled?
Yes.
No, the plan might not have any provision for disability. Not, huh? The only way to find out is actually to get the plan description. And you have a right to that. Yeah. You can get the plan.
You could actually get what they call the summary plan description.
Right.
And it's public information.
The full plan.
Yeah, you could get the full
plan. You could
plan.
Probably find it online.
Yeah.
You dig around
That's
for it.
That's true. Okay.
It's called a plan description. It's public record. Every pension plan out there is of public record. Any qualified pension plan out there
is. You think these people would have to be insured for this, you know?
Oh, they might be.
No, I mean they're running out of money, so they said you're
No, they
you're
might.
Not going to be able to collect as much as you should.
No, but they might be. They might be giving you a net present value of a stream of payments in that plan, which may or may not have anything to do with what the stream of payments.
And it might be a plan that's covered under the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. That even if it went to zero, you still have a monthly pension coming.
So that's what I said. It might be. But right now, we're just sitting here. Scott and Pat are just sitting here speculating.
I know.
But here's what we do know. If you were my brother, I'd say, you know, funny enough, your name's Kevin, and I have a brother named Kevin.
That's weird. McLean with a Kevin?
Just pick
Patrick,
an
Irish
name.
My last name's Curly, so I'm Irish too, man.
So just pick an Irish name, and I've got a sibling named that. So I'd say Kevin, which is the name of my brother, go and get the plan description and look up the distribution options on the plan description. That way you're not actually talking to anyone. You're just looking at the rules.
I have some in front of me,
You're looking at the rules. So if you Google the name of the plan, there's a 90% chance you'll be able to find it on the internet without digging too far.
All right. I appreciate it. I'm just afraid they're not going to have any money by the time I...
Well, you're gonna that's why you need to read through it. It might be covered under pension benefit guarantee.
Right.
Pension benefit guarantee.
All right,
guys.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Kevin. You're listening.
I'll listen to it on Saturday.
All right, thanks. You know, the thing about... every pension is unique.
Oh, yeah.
And unions have some of the stranger ones. Just the way they're structured, they're much different than many corporate plans.
Pooled investments and all kinds of certain things.
Well, the pooled investments is always where you, like, who's...
who's pool, right?
Yeah.
So,
and who's choosing the investments?
So every pension plan being different. So it's not unusual at all for someone to come into our office and they have a choice in their pension of taking a stream of payments for the rest of their life or a lump sum. We do the calculation. We recommend a stream of payments. Their neighbor comes in the very next day and says, hey, you recommended a stream of payments for my neighbor. I'm going to do the same. And it might be the wrong choice. It's 100% dependent upon the plan design of your pension plan, how you actually treat it.
Pat, I'd say it's even further than that because I could think of a company, AT&T. AT&T is actually the corporate company is SBC that purchased the old long distance company, AT&T, and decided to rebrand the entire company as AT&T. And they purchased a couple of other baby bells, Pac Bell. And within that, there are several different legacy pension plans.
Yes.
And I had one client who was retiring from one of the Baby Bells that was all now part of the AT&T. And the buyout of the pension, the internal rate of return was something like 4.5%. So for this person, it's like, take the cash out.
Take the lump sum.
Take the lump sum.
Roll it into
maybe
an IRA.
Maybe it was higher than 40. Whatever it was pretty low. Take the lump sum, roll it into an IRA. If we need to start income stream that way, do that. And then another person came in, also AT&T, right? Worked for AT&T.
Different pension plan, though.
It was a different pension plan within AT&T. This person, it was technically a cash balance plan, not really the net present value of the pension stream. So this person came in adamant about taking the lump sum. Matter of fact, said, I'm taking the lump sum. I need to find a place to park it and help me out. And as I'm like, well, you shouldn't be taking it. And I remember arguing with this person for quite a while and going through and explaining the different reasons
why
behind this. And then he was concerned about what happens if the company ever goes bankrupt one day. I'm like, well, here's the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation limits. Because you're underneath the limits, we're going to be fine there. And I'm like, it took a lot of work on my behalf.
So, and you get paid to manage money.
Correct. But I'm like, in this situation, do not take the cash out on it. But
every pension plan is different.
Every plan is.
And actually, you could have the same plan, but be a different age or not as much service, and it would drive different decision making.
They're all different, which needs to be. I mean, these decisions should not be taken lightly.
Yeah.
They should really be oftentimes consulted with a qualified financial advisor, certified financial planner, someone who's.
Scott.
Seen, what?
Most financial. So-called financial advisors would tell people to take the lump sum all the time. I hope that left my lips. I hope that's not
that's
true.
That's probably right.
I hope that's not true.
All right. Well, let's continue on with calls. Let's talk to Jay in Northern California. Jay, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, how's it going?
Awesome.
What can we do for you?
I recently got thrown into a situation where I kind of had to reevaluate my finances. I got hurt at work, and I wasn't able to work, and I was kind of concerned about my retirement because I thought I'd have to get an early retirement. And, you know, my finances are all messed up. I mean, I have like 5 different accounts and, you know, I didn't know what to do with them. And, you know, I had money that, you know, I invested into a investment. It was a Franklin income account that my financial advisor kind of told me that I should, you know, money was just sitting in the bank. I shouldn't have it sitting there.
Okay.
You know, I should invest it in something. But I wanted to have an emergency account. So then I kind of started building up another emergency account because I wanted some income streams. I listen to the radio. I listen to your show all the time. But, I'm kind of worried because I was taken out of the workforce. And, you know, then I realized and said, you know, I can't do this. You know, I need to find something to do. I'm 58. And,
okay.
I have like 4 retirement accounts, an investment fund. I have a pension coming in, a partial pension coming in. But I suddenly realized that all my monies are kind of in the wrong place.
So let's walk through this a little bit. Are you married?
No.
Okay. Do you own a home or are you making payments on a home now?
Everything I have is paid off.
Okay, well, perfect, perfect.
So your finances are not, doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfect. How much, if you added up all of these, you said 4 or 5 different retirement accounts, what's the total value of that?
I have about $463,000 in investments right now.
How much of them are in IRAs and not outside of IRAs?
None of them are in IRAs.
401ks?
457? I have SARSET, 403B, 401K, two investment accounts. One's a match fund. I have a Franklin Income Fund,
got
Class
it.
C. And I have an emergency account that I have set aside.
And it sounds like now's the emergency. So you had to leave the workforce because of a medical issue, correct?
Right. And I started panicking, so I ended up picking up another job. I just started. I've been there for a while, and I really like it. But it's in a PERS now. They're putting money into a PERS account.
So stop for a second, Jonathan, because you're confusing us.
Okay.
You left the workforce from an injury, but you're not disabled.
Well, they tried to make me disabled, but I wasn't disabled enough to where I think I could have.
Couldn't do the job he was had.
Got it. And how big will your pension be that you said you're going to receive a partial pension? How big will it be?
The pension I'm receiving now is not very much. It's like $277. I took 50% of 50 because I was worried about, you know, the account. It was in the red.
So here's, I mean, if if you got to point to clearly understand what your income needs are for retirement, then you can kind of work backwards to today. So I'm 58. Is full retirement feasible for me? Probably not, right? So if not, what do I need to earn and for how many years before I'm confident I can be financially secure?
And because you mentioned that you're in a PERS, for the rest of the listeners in the United States, PERS is the California Public Employee Retirement System. You will vest at that at some point in time, depending upon your age and the number of hours you work.
This financial advisor who had sold you the other investment product, is that someone you meet with on a regular basis to plan kind of your retirement? And is that the person you gave a call as soon as you had a health issue?
No, I've been with them for over 25 years. What happened was they were part of my company. And, I mean, they're really good, but they kind of scare me a little bit because I really should look more into my finances. I don't know enough about it. And like,
if I were in your situation, I'd go talk to a couple certified financial planners, someone who specializes in retirement issues. Just have a consultation, tell them what's going on, listen to them, and think after the couple meetings, say which one of these two do I think have my best interest at heart, which one's competent, and which one's a fee-based advisor, so they're not going to try to sell me some commissioned product.
You need a financial plan
at this point.
And your situation,
it'll help you so much.
Your situation is actually not that complicated. It's just that you have stuff scattered everywhere.
Which is very common.
Which is pretty common. So the thing that I would look at is, how long do you need to work at the current job so you vest your pension? This $463,000, is it inside IRAs, outside IRAs? I wouldn't move any of the 403B, 457, or 401K into an IRA yet until you determined what your income needs are on those dollars prior to your age 59 and a half. Because once you move them to an IRA prior to 59 and a half, you don't have access to them, which you will have access to them if they're in a 401k or 457.
Right.
So you need someone to walk through that with you.
Spend an hour, 90 minutes.
I do have an emergency account set up. Like I have about $100,000 on my savings account that I don't want to invest because I keep hearing
you shouldn't invest right now until you have a plan. There's no rush to invest it right now.
Yeah.
Make sure you're getting a high yield on it. But other than that, don't invest until you figure out what the plan is.
Yeah.
Okay. And if your medical issue is one that you still aren't quite sure what the outcome is, then maybe
you never invest.
Yeah. Until you're more clear on that. So
yeah,
exactly what I was doing because it's really kind of a it's scary. You get hurt and all of a sudden you realize they tell you you can't come back to work.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It happens. So
yeah, I'm glad you called, Jonathan.
Appreciate
and again, you'd really benefit from meeting with a good advisor. This is interesting. We talk a lot in this from our firm here about the fact that about half of us are forced into retirement earlier than we'd planned. And so someone might be listening and think, well, he's 58, but maybe I'm somewhere near that age. My situation's probably different than his. Maybe I still have a mortgage on my house. Maybe I'm still paying off some kids' college loan, whatever the case may be. I had a friend of mine who was 60-ish, had planned on working for a number of years. He was in an executive position, leadership position, right? So it's not like he had some, I don't know, Jonathan might have had a job where it took some sort of physical, but he had some heart issues. And his doctor said, you need to quit. You can't have this much stress in your life or it's going to kill you. And he was forced to retire.
So he had to retire.
Because he was a marathoner
that's crazy.
So anything can happen, which is why it's so important to be retirement ready regardless.
Well, and Jonathan, we don't know from that phone call, we don't know whether his income actually stayed the same, went down.
As you get closer to retirement, having some plan in place where you know that if suddenly tomorrow you had to retire, you're not freaking out. And if you find yourself in that position, boy, it really helps to meet with a qualified advisor.
We wrote a paper a year or two ago called The Emergency.
We've got it on our website.
Yeah. It's The Emergency Retirement Guide.
Yeah, whatever.
It's like retirement.
What is it called? Something along those lines. We should know all these pieces.
It was basically if retirement was kind of forced on you quickly, what do you do like right now?
Yeah, what are the five steps?
Yeah,
six
what are
steps,
the right,
or three steps? Or
right
I don't
now.
Know how many steps.
I think it was
have.
Called The Emergency Retirement Guide.
Might be.
It was It was timeless. We wrote it a couple years ago, but absolutely timeless.
I think it's a, I don't know if it's an ebook or a webinar. There's some education material on it.
What website. Is the difference between an ebook and like a white paper?
Ebooks have pretty pictures.
Is that right?
Isn't that about the difference?
White paper.
White paper is if you don't want to spend the money to have someone gussy it up and make it look good.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. You know, you call it a white paper. White paper.
It's just 14 pages.
It's more academic.
White papers. I guess. Yes. And so it must be better. If you throw some pictures in there and some colors, it's probably
good. Graphs. I like those pie things. I like pie in general, though.
Pie. I love the pie charts. Don't give me those. I don't want to sit that way. Put it in a pie chart. I love it. Reminds me of my grandma's cooking.
I love the pie chart.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here as customary. But if you want to join us, we are still taking calls. And again, to join the program, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. Stick around. We'll be right back with more Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit HansonMcLean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you're sticking around with us as we talk about financial matters, helping people make wise choices with their finances. At least that's our objective.
And so we try.
We do try. You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking, I did a workshop a couple years ago. My church actually asked me to come in and do one, which I always feel funny about because
they.
I just don't. I try to keep my, particularly my Sunday morning time, separate from the rest of my life.
So right? They wanted you to do a financial awareness sort of thing?
Yeah, we're trying to do some different things to help.
That sort of thing.
No, on retirement.
Okay.
On retirement. And so I said, sure, I'll do it. And as I'm preparing, I overheard a conversation in the back of this table. It's got one guy telling this person next to him, said, never take financial retirement advice from someone who's still working.
Well, that's not a good idea. That's not.
And so I had overheard that comment, so I had to.
You had to address it somehow? Not directly?
Not directly, but look, first of all, 70% of baby boomers today state that they don't want to fully retired. They don't want to be 100% retired. 70% say they want to continue with some sort of employment during retirement. Okay? Almost, it's roughly two-thirds say they want to do some sort of employment. And roughly 30% state that they want to continue working for a paycheck in retirement.
Okay. Which means that they never want to retire.
Okay. Right. So for us at this organization, Hanson McLean, our objective is to help people get to a point where retirement is an option for them.
Where they can retire but don't have to.
Because for one, that just changes the mindset for a lot of people. Knowing that they can quit anytime, they can do something different at any time, that they are in control of their lives, it's powerful.
Yes. Changes the view.
When you get to the point where it's like work's an option.
Not an obligation.
And you can just show up to work because it's something where you feel that you can add some value to others, you're working on something meaningful.
Or not. Right? So.
Now, but myself personally, I'm 52. I have no intention of ever retiring. Now, I might feel different when I'm 62 or 72. I don't know.
You know,
but I certainly, from day one, I prepared myself for retirement.
I'm 56. I don't know how I feel. Actually, ask me during the week.
It depends on the day. Well, like anything in life.
Yeah.
Some days the job stinks, your marriage stinks, all that stuff stinks.
Yeah.
And some days it's all
never
wonderful.
The marriage thing, not for me. 33 years, nothing but bliss.
Boy, did I pick the perfect wife. Just everything in life.
Mostly,
that way.
She picked the perfect man.
Okay. And then you're wondering why you're having struggles.
I tell her every day how lucky she is.
That always goes up well. Anyway.
Their point being, we try to help people get to the ability to retire, but not necessarily to retire.
So hopefully when you work with a financial advisor, it's one that their own financial house is in good order, but just because they're still working, regardless of their age,
yes,
they could be very competent advisors, retirement
planners. I met with an attorney, you know, I'm going to guess his age, 70, 74, 75, I'm going to guess his age. Loves, really engaged, 70, you know, he's got to be 74, 75. But he did say to me on the, when we were walking away, he had 40 employees. He said, yeah, I don't manage the company anymore. It's great. He goes, but I do work.
Yeah, focus on what he wants to do.
Focus on what he wants to do. Owns the law firm, but doesn't actually manage it on a day-to-day
basis. He's probably in a position financially where he doesn't have to have the firm.
That's right.
And make it more fun, which is, again, why we try to get help people to a point where they're retirement ready. And look, also, you look at some of these studies say that roughly one out of two of us are forced into retirement early.
Forced or have to go into retirement in order to take care of themselves,
that's
their
right.
own health, or a loved one.
Right? Job changes, something goes south on them, and the next thing you know, they're anyway. Okay, let's go to some calls. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. 1-888-2-HANSON. We are in San Jose with Peter. Peter, you're with Hanson McLean. Hi, Peter.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
What can we do for you?
Okay, good. I'm on a little speakerphone. Is that okay?
We couldn't tell, so now we know.
Okay, good.
Now I'm questioning it, okay. But I think it's good.
Real quick, my brother is managing a piece of property we have in common, and I think it was inherited around 2008, and I just signed the documents over the phone and over the computer to sell the property. And by the time everything was done, I didn't have the presence of mind to ask about taxes, and I learned about something called basis something or other. I don't
basis. Yep.
Forgot what I read.
Cost basis.
What?
It's called your cost basis.
Yeah, something about cost basis and how that relates to what taxes I might owe.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 5 years ago I would have understood what I was reading, but I thought, well, hell, I'll just call Hanson and McLean and he'll spell it out for me.
Why did 5 years make the difference?
Because that's when I discovered I was losing it.
Got it.
Reading
so,
and
so you inherited this property in 2008. Was it a rental property? Is it a piece of land? What type of property is it?
Yeah, it's a rental property, okay. And it was vacant for a little bit.
And you inherited from whom?
My parents.
And what
our
was
parents.
What was the value of the property when you inherited it, approximately?
I knew you were going to ask that, and I really don't know, but I can tell you if we're lucky, it'll sell for $340 to $350. So maybe you can work backwards.
And
that would help.
And when you inherited it, was it held in some sort of special kind of trust?
Yeah,
it
was held in, I think, common trust or something.
A living trust?
We discussed that, and I forgot. But of all the three ways it could have been held, it was the best under the circumstances for...
Okay, and the reason I ask that is... Oftentimes, there are these bypass trusts that were created upon the death of a first spouse. The first spouse. When assets are put in that bypass trust, there is no longer a forgiveness of capital gains from that point forward. At the second death. So sometimes we see people inherit a property and they think, oh, I inherited it on March 5th of whatever the year was, and so the value was worth it. But... If in fact it had come from it's pretty rare. I mean, probably less than 10% of the time we see inheritance this way, but it happens sometimes where it's inherited from a little more complex. But situation,
Peter
sounds,
said it was in the best possible situation. So where is this property located?
Santa Barbara.
And it's only worth $350,000.
Have you been to Santa Barbara? I'll buy it for $350,000 in Santa Barbara. Just kidding. Okay. So $350,000.
Yeah, it's very little. I understand it's a very small condo.
Okay. Well,
condo, okay.
Okay. So
small condo.
Let's say that it was valued in 08. Right? This is before the home prices fell. Was probably 250.
Or three.
Or three, right? Somewhere in there, right? So if it was $300,000 and now you're selling it for $350,000, then there is a gain on that of $50,000, of which you will owe capital gains tax and state income taxes on that. Now, to make it a little bit more difficult, you've probably depreciating this asset for your tax purposes over a period of time, and you'll have to recapture that. So if I was a guessing person, if I would
just... Well, what percentage of this do you own?
Yeah.
Half.
Okay. So if I was a betting man, I would bet that your capital gains and tax exposure is probably $10,000.
I was guessing 20. So 10 to 20 grand.
Yes. Which you'll have more or enough.
But you're going to have, you can't just guess this thing. So
you have to actually go through the math.
But your brother will probably provide you some sort of cost basis information because he's got to do it for himself anyway.
And a depreciation schedule so that you have to recapture that. But I would expect that it is no more than $20,000 on the upside of your tax liability. And remember, you're inheriting, you know, more than enough money to pay the taxes on this. All righty?
All righty.
So don't worry about it. And I really question the 350 in Santa Barbara. I don't care how small it is. Especially in light of the fact that of all the wildfires and mudslides there, which actually have driven property prices up. Not bad.
They have?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, right, go to so Zillow.
The bottom line is I'll probably owe 10 to 20K, and yeah, I can max. Take it out of the sale. And
that's what, if it were me, I'd be thinking, based on what you've told me, I'd be thinking, 20 grand.
Yeah, and then your brother will give you all the information.
But I would not spend a dollar of that portion until I knew what my tax liability was going to be. And you don't have to wait till late next April 15th.
You could actually do it now.
Yeah, meet with an accountant. Well,
not don't meet with an accountant until after.
And the worst possible... No. The worst possible case is something called a forgiveness trust, right?
Forgiveness.
I don't know what a forgiveness trust is.
No, no, you said something for something
a bypass, about a bypass trust. If one of your
parents,
if one of your parents had predeceased, like 30 years, let's say,
yeah,
and the home was worth 20 grand when your parent passed away, and it was put in a bypass trust.
Yeah, but it's highly unlikely you have that. But if you run across, Peter...
I could look for bypass trust.
Yeah, but okay, if you run across forgiveness trust, let me know, because I could use
I was hallucinating the word. Okay,
all right, appreciate the call.
Good luck, Peter. And, you know, Pat, it's funny you were talking about Santa Barbara. This is like a year and a half ago. Was it a year and a half ago? I think so. So there was a handful of us... I was going to say middle-aged guys. We're all on the opposite end of this. We're older guys.
So for the rest of the listeners across the United States, we're located in Sacramento, California, which is, it's a nice enough town, but it's really, really close to really nice places. Yeah.
And so we're in Santa Barbara. We rented this house for like 5 or 6 days on a biking trip. So we're cycling every day. And like the final day, we're going through this one area of Santa Barbara that's called, I guess they call it the Riviera. And there's the higher Riviera, they call it, and it's like bigger homes, really high price. But the lower Riviera, just these awesome looking homes with great views. And I'm like, I want a 2-bedroom bungalow in Santa Barbara in the lower Riviera.
And how much were
they're still like $700,000-$900,000 or something.
Expensive.
Little, 80-year-old homes, little tiny things.
Oh.
But I was super, I'm like, I started to fantasize in my own mind, this is going to be perfect.
And then what happened?
I talked to my wife.
Oh, is that right?
She like even laughed that I brought up the condo.
She did?
Laughed. Oh, I thought it was
hilarious.
Well,
she's sitting there, I'm going to sit in this little room and you'd be out riding your bike every day.
I'd be up. I should wake up. I'm already gone.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
You'd probably take up surfing. Down didn't you used to surf as a kid?
A long time ago.
You'd take up surfing. hanging at the beach in Santa Barbara. Your wife's home watching Oprah. I mean, literally, because Oprah lives in Santa Barbara.
There goes Oprah. What'd you do today? I watched Oprah.
Not the show. Her.
That's not even that funny, but I'm finding it really funny. Oh. All right. We better continue back with calls because now we're way off base. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number, 1-888-2-HANSON. We're in Colorado Springs with Stephen. Stephen, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Here's the question that I have for you. 59 years old. I'm getting close. I'm really thinking about retirement. And I'm with a public employment. And I have the opportunity to purchase years of service, and I'm able to do that from of my 401k.
Mm-hmm.
So I would purchase that with pre-tax money. And so my thinking here is that I have everything tied up either in my home, which I have paid off, or in 401ks, index funds. And I'm thinking that this might be a way to diversify somewhat.
Okay.
And I don't want to say guaranteed income, but it's less.
It is guaranteed.
Pretty close. It's pretty close.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's do that. Let's first decide whether you should buy this airtime or not. And then the second is how you should fund this. And we have opinions about both.
Yeah, and it really comes down to how much benefit you get for your investment. So if, in other words, they said, hey, Stephen, if you want to give us $1 million, we're going to give you $50 a month.
You'd say, no.
That's a terrible deal.
But
if you say, hey, you give us $100,000, we're going to give you $5,000 a month, you'd be like, phew,
so
easy decision.
How much airtime are you, by the way, this is really controversial, this airtime, whether the IRS actually allows for it or not.
Yeah, but they haven't done anything.
But they've done it in the state of California for years and years.
19 years or something.
So how much will it cost you, and how much will the benefit? So if you were to buy it today and turn the benefit on today, how much would it cost you to buy?
It is one-third of my yearly salary to purchase 1 year, and I'm eligible to purchase 5 years.
Okay, so what's the dollar amount and what's the benefit?
Well, for every year, I get 2.5% more in my monthly retirement.
Yeah, that
payout.
Doesn't. We actually have to dig into the dollar amount. So have you figured out how much, if you were to buy $100,000, how much monthly benefit would that give you? If you got dollar amounts?
I see what you're saying, yeah. It would cost me $175,000 to purchase 5 years of service.
And how much additional pension would you get for that?
It would be roughly $1,000, $1,100 more per month.
And this would be starting at age 60?
At age 60. I'm 59 now, so I'm eligible. It's almost precisely this time next year that I would be eligible. And here's the thing. So when the numbers that I gave you are for survivor benefit as well. And my wife is a few years younger than myself. And so I want to make sure that, you know, I take care of her. So I'm thinking, you know, the numbers that I provided for you would also pay her until she does.
Yeah.
It would be the same benefit for the both of us until both of us are.
Understand. So could you quote me how much your dollars would be on a single life only for you?
Well, it doesn't matter. The numbers look great on a.
Is that right? You did the calculation?
7.5% roughly.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So no brainer. You're going to do this. Now the question is.
No, seriously.
You're going to do this. If you don't do it with your money, I'll send you some of mine. You can assign the benefit over to me.
No. So you're laughing about this. So the state of California. Yeah, we're based in Sacramento. Had opened this up years ago, and then they shut it down
because it was supposed to be revenue neutral, and it wasn't.
There are times we would argue with clients like, "You gotta get take your IRA from here and go buy your airtime because it's worth so much. The guarantees. So if you can get a guaranteed 7.5% and pay to your wife's dying age,
probably with a cost of living adjustment on it as well.
Well, and that's my line of thinking as well.
Steve,
and,
this is an IQ test. You passed.
Okay, I like it. And here's the other thing. You know, we have no debt.
I understand. So let's talk about how to pay for it. Do you have any money outside your 401ks or IRAs?
I do.
How much?
Right about $400,000.
Okay. So let me tell you where I would do if I were you. You can use after-tax dollars to purchase this.
Well, how much do you have in your 401ks?
I have 820 in the one that I'm employed with now, and then I have 400, you know, an individual that my wife and I have saved outside of work.
So I would use the after-tax dollars.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, unless
there's a large capital gain.
Or, no,
Why?
Unless you have plans for it for something else.
Do you have plans for $400,000?
Helping, buying another home, helping a kid buy a house, some other plans.
Yeah, possibly. But I'm thinking, you know, then I don't have the tax complications up front because I would essentially have to pay the tax on this as I took it out of the IRA.
This $400,000, is it in an IRA or a brokerage account outside of an IRA?
No, it is with a 401k with my employer, and they will take that, the $175,000 to buy the year.
Okay, got it. All right, we were looking for after tax dollars to do this, and you don't have any after tax dollars.
Well, I have a Roth. I have five.
No.
But anything outside of an IRA? Do you have any money outside of IRAs? Okay.
Well, yeah.
How much?
$90,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wouldn't use that. So. Can you pay for this over time? Can you actually have the money come out of your paycheck and pay for it over 3 or 4 years?
I could.
I would take that direction.
My intention here is to retire within the next year and a half.
Okay.
So,
then use the IRA.
You know. Yeah. That was my line of thinking as well. Yeah. And I mean, it just makes sense to me. And you know, on top of all of this, and you do have to make the numbers work out. I mean, I've listened to you guys before, and I totally agree with you. But there's also that comfort level that you get by thinking, you know, taking care of business. And possibly you don't always make the greatest decision
possible, but I think
this is a good decision.
Steven?
Yes?
If I had the ability to buy this.
Based on the numbers you just gave me.
I would buy as much as they would sell me.
Because I think of it, this is a guaranteed, this is in a marketplace when 10-year bonds... are
sub 3%.
Yes.
And you're getting a guaranteed 7.5% with the cost of living adjustment. And you know who's you know who's guaranteeing this? Do you have any idea who's guaranteeing this? Steven?
Well, it would be the taxpayers that underwrite.
Yes. There you go.
That's a pretty strong one.
Yeah. That's a pretty good guarantee. Yeah. That is a pretty good guarantee.
I agree with you, and I appreciate the advice as well as the confirmation that I was leaning.
Oh, you're 100%. I would prefer after tax dollars to if you're listening to this show and you have after tax dollars, you would buy these with after tax dollars. And the reason for that is it takes dollars that aren't growing tax deferred. It makes them grow tax deferred. But that you don't
it's
have
like
that.
An unlimited non-qualified IRA.
Yeah.
Correct. But you don't have that. So I would take some money out of the IRA and you might want to even view this as a portion of your bond portfolio. That 175.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing is essentially you're actually taking it and you're buying fixed income in your portfolio.
That
so if you increase your equity exposure a little bit in doing this, it wouldn't hurt you.
Yes.
It wouldn't hurt you.
You know, and again, my analysis on this is that would you consider this a diversification? Because like I said, my wife and I mean, we have, our 401ks through our working years and we own our home.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, totally.
We don't have any other diversification under that.
No, you got a pension. This is terrible.
Government pensions are great.
This is terrible for the taxpayers that are funding this. Yeah. I'm just flat out telling you. Yeah. And actually, so we've been broadcasting in California for 20 some odd years. When this came about years ago, what they called airtime, we told people to buy it as fast and as much as they could because it would not continue forever. And people would call us up and say, no, they made it permanent part of the plan. And we said, as soon as they figure out how much this is costing,
it's not going to be permanent.
It's not going to be permanent.
That's right. People did argue that it was permanent.
That's my concern with Colorado as well.
Yeah, it's permanent until it's not. So buy this as quickly as you possibly can and tell your coworkers to buy as much as they can.
Right.
Or send them our podcast, and that's what we're slowly doing is adding one podcast listener at a time.
But we got 17
by begging. Please send me a list of the people you send the podcast to, Steven, so I could call them up and thank them individually. Anyway, appreciate the call.
I'll do that. Hey, thank you very much.
I wish you well, Steven. And Pat, there was just a lawsuit, was it the Firefighters Union that brought to trying to reestablish? Oh, you must have seen that a few weeks ago
in the state
and
of California.
It was ruled against them.
Yeah, where they said that you can't take it away because it's a permanent part of the plan.
That's right.
It wasn't a permanent part of the plan before it was a permanent part of the plan.
Well, that's the challenge with a lot of these pensions, the government pensions, is that things look great back in the day, in the year 2000, looked like everything was overfunded. Remember, there was a year that
The state of California, it was Pete Wilson didn't make a contribution, didn't want to make a contribution.
That's right, because why do we need to make it? The plans are overfunded. They thought, oh, we have too much money. We might as well start giving it out here. So they increased everyone's benefits, and then when the markets went south, it's like, hey, what about it? You can't take away what you just gave.
Yeah.
Which is part of the...
It's one of the reasons that pension plans are struggling, not just in California, but in multiple states. That, Scott, was a really unusual phone call because apparently they have just started offering these airtime.
I don't know if they just started.
Oh, that's a good point. Because you don't see many of them. They're very, very rare.
Well, you can buy additional service. Where you still see it, though, is if there's been gaps in service.
Yeah, we have, yes. If you were a school teacher and left for whatever, or you've left for a period of time.
If you have some in your background, have some...
federal service?
Federal or different state or municipality service, and you...
Or even military, and you want to see if you could gap it to your existing pension plan.
Not only that, let's say that you were an employed by a municipality that had a nice pension plan, but you left maybe to stay home with the kids, and you didn't vest because you left too young.
Yes.
We had advised the client to go back to work.
One day,
vested benefits.
Lifetime medical for her and her spouse, as well as a monthly pension of about $1,200 a month versus $300 a month. She technically only had to work one day. She ended up working 3 months. And then she said she hated the job and she quit. And my question to her was, did they have a retirement party for you? But it was just understanding how the pension plans work. And it doesn't matter whether it's a municipality or a large company. If you have what's called a deferred vested pension and they still have what's called an eligible pension there, you should look to see whether you could gap that.
Yeah. And so this is the kind of thing you should be talking with your financial advisor about. And if you have some service like that in the past, bring it up to your financial advisor when you're doing your financial planning with them. So we're about out of time, but I just want to remind people on our website, HansMcLane.com, we got some great resources there. We've got there's an article on overcoming the investing gap for women. That's got quite a bit of play, so you might want to look at that one. We've also got a number of different things. Of course, you can get a copy of this podcast. But we've got guides, we've got checklists, we've got blogs, a number of articles, all education focused, very similar to this radio program. Again, that's all at HansMcLane.com. We're out of time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We will see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.